When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two already. All right, let's run up Lake Houston way and let's check in with our good friend John Littleton, see what he's doing. He may be in the woods this morning. John, good morning. What's up, man?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot, Mickey. I'm not in the woods. I'm in my truck trying to get warm. It's a little nippy on the north side.
Yeah, it's a little cooler up your way.
Yeah, it feels good, though. I mean, I love it, you know, this type of weather, this time of year.
Yes.
So, we're gonna head up to the woods all after lunch, you know, sometime. Probably stay till Monday and then come home and hang out till, you know, after Christmas. And then I'll pull my boat up there. Like I said, I'm only about 20, 25 minutes away from Fayette County, so we're going to go up there and try to catch some of Bob's fish up there, you know.
Right.
So I've been hearing some good reports come from up there. So
unfortunately, I didn't get Bob for a report this morning. He's out of cell service. He's deer hunting, so he texted me last night to let me know that he wouldn't be able to talk this morning because, you know, he was out of range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. But, they had a tournament last Saturday over at Lake Houston and ended up having, I think it was 22 teams fished.
Right.
And I read all the reports. They, every team weighed in fish.
Right. Some guy posted on there that was in that tournament and he had a pretty good sack.
Yeah. Yeah. There was 17. Fish. Yeah, 17 pounds won, right. Little over 17. So, and big fish was a 594. So, you know, that's, man, for this time of year, I mean, heck, that's good, you know.
Not bad for Lake Houston, I can tell you that, man. That's respectable.
No. No, they, and there were, out of those, there was 12 five fish limits caught. So, you know, that's, you know, half the field caught a limit. And then some of those guys I talked with, you know, they caught eight, you know, one guy said they caught 10 keepers, you know, and they just cull up, you know, to get their biggest five. And so, I mean, the lake kind of showed out last weekend. So I, you know, I'm glad to see that. I was trying to get all my ducks in a row for finishing up. I, you know, started vacation, well, actually today until January 6th. So, you know,
dang,
trying to get all my works. Yeah. Trying to get all my work stuff caught up so I don't get too many phone calls and emails over the holidays, you know. So, it's all good. We got the boat back from the shop. Everything checked out A-okay. So, you know, we're getting it stocked up and ready to go. And, you know, just I'm working on my reels now. You know, a lot of people don't. I say they don't. You know, I would think most of us bass fishermen that fish, you know, a lot. I go through all my stuff and even Q-tip the eyes on my rods and, you know, make sure. I like running a Q-tip through and make sure nothing's hanging up. You know, because you gotta figure you get a fish on and you got a bad eye or a bad tip and, you know, you could break them off.
The same thing. Use a Q-tip with alcohol on it. Clean everything.
Yep. You got to keep that stuff, you know, keep it up to date and keep it all cleaned up and fixed up and ready to go. You know, that one fish you lose or break off could cost you a tournament or, you know, or it can cost you some money, you know, so.
Right.
I know, predominantly in Lake Houston, I'm fishing, you know, 3, 4, 5 foot deep. So, you know, you get hung up quite a bit,
yeah.
You know. So, I run my rod tip down there and push on it and get it loose. But, you know, you gotta look at that stuff, you know, pretty often.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, if you don't, you'll end up in trouble, you know, with a good fish, but
yeah, most of the rods I use these days have the titanium recoil guides on them, except for the tip.
Yeah,
and
right,
you usually don't have much trouble. Remember back in the day, man, when every you know you had inserts, that porcelain or whatever they used in there, and boy, you get just one little fray or even a crack in it, you know, from beating them around in the boat. You're reeling a fish in, and all your line spider webbing.
Oh, yeah, it'll do it, you know.
Phrase and that line like hear, crazy when it gets caught in that groove or that nick, you know.
Yeah, you hear people, I've had it happen to me, and I've heard people say, man, I don't know what happened, you know, that my line broke about, you know, 10, 15 feet down or 20 feet down.
Right.
Well, that's probably from one of your guides, you know, on your rod. So, you know, that's probably what caused it. I know, you know, I've had it happen to me before, you know, doing that, because you think, well, man, it didn't break at the knot, and, you know, what the heck happened? But that's usually what it is. So, but now I get them all re-spooled up and ready to go and go out there and catch a few. We're gonna deer hunt this weekend and set the hog trap again and try to still seeing a bunch of hogs on camera and, you know, just, I don't know. We got to get them suckers out of there. So I don't have the green light.
Only one way to do it. You got to kill them. You got to get them.
Yeah. I know. I don't have the green lights on the feeders and, you know, I'm not thermal.
Oh, you got to get you some of those, man. You can kill the heck out of them with that green light.
Yeah, I know it. I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I just don't do it, you know. But we'll get it figured out and get them out. At least get a few of them out. But we're going to go do that and hang out. Maybe, you know, we got three ponds. Two of them have pretty good bass in them, and so we're going to fish those ponds this weekend. And like I said, just go hang out and try to relax and get ready for Christmas, you know. So
right.
It's right here in our back pocket. But
I don't know what it is. I'm fired up about Christmas this year. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, everybody is, Mickey. I mean, you know, we're the same way. We had a big deal yesterday at work, and I mean, you know, Christmas music been playing all week, and you know, I mean, it's just been one of them deals, you know.
Right.
So, you know, even people were decorating their offices, and you know, all that good stuff. So, you know, I just, you know, I didn't, but a lot of the people did. But, you know, I just sneak over to their offices and get some of their Christmas candy out of their candy bowls on their desk. You know, they seem to always have good candy this time of year. That's my downfall, I guess. I got to work on for next year, New Year's resolution. But no, I checked the water levels this morning, the lake's, you know, level pool. Water clarity is still off some, but, you know, people, we had a meeting last night, and I was talking to some of the guys, and you know, even like Houston with the water clarity like it is, you know, people get discouraged, and they don't want to go, and, you know, because they don't catch anything, and it's just like with anything, you just got to go out there and fish, and, you know, kind of get, it's hard to do, get some of that mental stuff out of there to where, you know, you don't let it bother you that much when you go out there and the water, the lake's muddy, you know, but, you know, those fish still going to eat, and they're still there. So you just got to pack you a little bit of patience and make multiple casts in the same area, especially if you know there's fish there. You know, so it's just the way it is, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I sent you that picture yesterday.
Yeah, you just read my mail. I was fixing to ask you about that deer, like 10 feet from your truck. That was funny.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I drove up there just to fill up the feeders and check the cameras and see what was coming in. And, I mean, I'm literally 10, 12 feet away from my feeder. And that deer just walks up and jumps in the feed pen, and I got my door open on my truck. Actually, my foot was hanging out the window, and I'm just looking at my trail camera pictures, going to put my cards back in, and I couldn't believe that deer just walked up there and jumped, and I videoed it 4 minutes and 6 seconds. You know, I didn't even bring a gun with me, you know, so I just drove up there to put corn in the feeders, and it was dry enough I could drive my truck right to the feed pen.
Right.
So on that one, so you know, it's just weird. That deer would be one that we would shoot. It's, you know, old 4-point, no brow tines. You know, it's just an old deer.
That's a tall buck there.
Tall, big rack.
Yeah, he needs to go.
So,
and he looked pretty stupid to me. I'm going, man, there's no hot doe around. And I said, man, this deer right here, he's just wanting somebody to shoot him. But
yeah,
I've seen that during the rut down south. We were in Mexico one time, and man, those deer were on, you know, the bucks were on the doe so hard and heavy. We were hunting out of a high rack, and we're sitting there with the engine running, and we're glassing a big deer way out in the brush. He thinks he's hiding from us, but we can see him. And one of my buddies is thinking about taking a shot at him. This doe walks out. She's standing 5 feet from the hood, and that suburban high rack we were in was sitting there running, and this buck walks out on her, and he just stands there. And he'd look right through the windshield and then up in the high rack, and like, I don't care. He was with that doe, and he wasn't leaving her, man. I mean, he's not even 10 feet from the truck. I could have reached out and touched him.
Yep.
He would not leave that doe, man.
That's how that deer was.
She was using our truck to hide from him.
Yeah. Well, that's why I videoed it, because I know I tell my brothers and, you know, a couple of my buddies about it. They go, yeah, right. You know, but I got it on video. So, but hopefully he walks out this weekend. I'll let my granddaughter shoot it. So, you know, she still hadn't killed one yet this year. So we'll
see. That'd be a good tall buck for her. you know, just to get a
deer. Yeah, it will.
That one needs to be killed anyway.
Yeah,
old and ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it. And it'll taste pretty good, too.
Yeah, it'll make a real good sausage dog. All right, man.
Yeah,
well, John, I'll talk to you next year, man. You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And if somebody wants to call you, give out your number. They can get a hold of you, man.
Sure. They can call me on my cell, 281-222-8544. Just give me a call or shoot me a text, and y'all come out to Lake Houston and visit us this year and catch some bass.
Let's do it. All right, John. You have a good one, buddy.
You too.
Later.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. All right, that's John Littleton on Lake Houston. And I need to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And, you know, it's hunting season. Christmas is here. Belleville's a good place to do your shopping. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They have those available daily in the store. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs. And check out their bulk pricing that's available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And with Christmas right here, it's time to order those gift boxes or get out there and get some. Options are available in the house, or they can customize it for you. And if you're looking to cook a rib roast for Christmas, the Belleville will cut and trim it for you to perfection. And their wild game processing facility, check out their new sausage recipe just in time for deer season this year. You got to try it. It's really good. And while you're getting that made, get you some deer tamales made and venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 519 here in the Bayou City. And been having a few texts this morning about age class on trout. You know, a lot of people aren't understanding what we're talking about on age class. You know, I was talking earlier with other guides and stuff, but you know, it's real simple. You know, from the time a trout is hatched, then it's a fingerling, and then grows up. Usually they'll grow 12 inches the first year. A female will, and a male. They both grow about the same for the first year and a half. But once they reach 2 years old, they're about 16 inches. And the older and the larger the trout get, the better the egg production. That, you know, they don't all spawn at one time. They spawn pretty much all year when the water temperatures are right and salinity levels and all that. And I know it's kind of hard to comprehend, but it's just real simple math. I mean, you know, like say a one-year-old fish, they're mature enough to produce eggs, and they'll put out about 300,000 eggs per batch. And batch means that they're actually, you know, each time they do a spawn, and in a year's time, that can equal about 2.7 million eggs per year from a 12-incher. A 16-incher, you can pretty much double those or even almost triple them, amount of egg productions. And then at 3 years old, they're 19, and then it's even more. You know, each batch will have 1.2 million eggs. And then about 11 million a year. And it sounds like a lot. The survival rate on those is very minimal. I mean, due to predatorial reasons, you know, you got all these rough fish eating them up, hardheads and things like that when they're frying, you know, fingerling size. But just to put it in perspective, say a one-year-old trout versus just a seven-year-old trout. Well, a seven-year-old trout will produce about 27 million more eggs per year than a one-year-old. And when we're age-classing these fish, you know, it's like the problem we're having with Galveston Bay. A lot of our fish are age classed in the, you know, like 3 years and down due to, you know, the problems we've had with floods. But as our salinity levels stay maintained the way they are, then we'll see a better age class of fish as these fish grow up and they start getting 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old. And that's what we're going through now. Other areas down the coast, they hadn't had it so bad because they don't get the freshwater influx like we do. But it'll all turn around. Let's run down Texas Cityway now and check in with old Dave Fremont, good friend of mine at Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Dyke. See what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Dave. How you doing, man?
Hello, Captain Mickey, and good morning to you and all the sickos that are up this morning.
They're out there. They're lurking, man. They're lurking.
I'll tell
you what's going on in your world.
It's all good. Everything's fine. Just a absolutely beautiful morning this morning out here on the Texas City Dyke.
Yes.
These are the mornings. These are the mornings that I look forward to so much. Just crisp. Not. It's already warming up, Mickey. It's 59 degrees out here on the Texas City Dyke where I'm at. The temperature will change a couple of degrees as we go up and down the dike for some reason, but it's not too bad. It's very nice. The wind is variable, very little. I think from what I can see coming from the steam coming off the refineries, it looks like it still might have an ever so north wind, but not enough to amount to anything. There's a lot of slick spots on the bay here along the dike. So,
I'm looking at my graph here, and you're sitting there at the dike with a breezy 3-mile-an-hour north wind.
We'll take it. We'll take it and appreciate it. It's just awesome this morning. I'm definitely going to stick around and watch this sunrise. It ought to be a pretty one. They all look good. Usually they all look good in one way or another, whether it's cloudy or clear or in between. So I'm going to look forward.
At our age, a sunrise is great. It's always welcome.
There's some very pretty ones coming up off this bay, but good visibility all the way around. We've had our share of fog, though, Mickey. We've had some foggy mornings out here. It got down to one porta can, maybe two porta cans visibility.
That's dense.
Yeah, but it's clear sailing this morning. It's looking great. And I believe some folks will be out this morning trying to catch them a flatfish or two or five, however many they can get.
No, flatfish been catching hell here about the last week. Boy, they've been getting them. poor flatties.
Those lazy flounder that hadn't made it out into the Gulf yet, they're on borrowed time. They better watch out.
They are. they're in trouble.
Well, I don't think we'll put a big dent in the population. I think they've got it corralled pretty good with the limits that they've imposed and pretty much shutting down flounder fishing altogether during that time when they're supposedly supposed to be migrating at their peak. But we'll seen some good reports. There's been some good catches, and there'll be flounder for Christmas dinner, it looks like, for some folks that have gotten out to catch some. I know the Galveston Channel has been paying off as it usually does this time of year, a little bit before. And then there's been a few reports from the dike. I hadn't heard an awful lot of folks. The ones that I've seen have been kind of slim, and the fish haven't been very big. I hadn't seen too many keepers, but there have been a couple, and I think a lot of folks have kind of remained tight-lipped about what they're doing in some regards to that. But I'm going to hang around, see what's going on this morning when the sun comes up, and see what the water looks like, and maybe bump into a couple of folks and see what they've been doing. But looking pretty good.
I saw a live video of Jason Cogburn the other day with standing around sacks of crawfish. That was very, man, that kind of got me, got my taste buds going.
Yeah, he's been playing around with TikTok a little bit and trying to throw out a couple of short videos after the crawfish truck comes in. That's been coming in late. They've been working a few sacks of crawfish at the crawfish warehouse the last week or two, and he had a batch come in that were some of the crawfish from last season they was able to catch, and just monsters. I mean, big crawfish.
I can't believe how big they were. He said these are kind of the leftovers, the holdovers from last year, the big females and big males. And naturally, as it gets going, they'll be small, you know, like they always are, starting the season out with all the ones that those crawfish hatched last year. So, looks like a banner year coming, man.
It could be. We're hoping for it, and I'm hoping that the price adjusts accordingly and drops. But it's already – well, last year, I always roll back and look at the history of what we were doing, and last year we didn't even have crawfish in November at all, and we had a little bit this last November, right at the end of the month around Thanksgiving. We had some coming in, just not many, just some. But then in December we had very, very little crawfish last year, and we've already had sacks that have been available. We sold some crawfish to customers two mornings ago. I don't know what we're going to have this morning. Adam was walking back to the warehouse as I was passing through to check out our live bait availability and such, and he said he was going to walk back there and have a look. I said, well, shoot me a message if you find out we're going to have any for retail, and I'll pass it on to the fine folks out there in Radio Land. And I hadn't heard from him, but I'll swing back by there and get a peek and post anything that we have on Facebook. But it's, hey, it's good. We're excited about it. We're looking forward to, hopefully, compared to last year, we're already ahead of the game. And the prices last year at this time are already less. They're still high, but they're already less than what was being offered last year at this time. So if it's an indication, then things ought to be on the mend, and we ought to have a pretty good season. Don't know how long it'll last. It may end a little earlier, but usually by June we're about fed up with crawfish, and as they start to get through for the season. But looking forward
to
it.
Those old shells are rock hard. You know, they're hard as a rock, but with availability, hopefully it's good again, and they can make crawfish prices great again.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be what it is, but we're hopeful and optimistic. Which last year we were downright optimistic wasn't on the menu. Yeah. It was just dismal.
It was dismal, but you know, everybody got through it, and everybody had crawfish. They were just a lot more expensive than normal, you know, because of supply and demand. But, hey.
Oh, I think a lot of time, you know, we took a lot of hits in terms of not just Boyd's, not just Jason. I'm talking about the crawfish folks all around. Took some hits and some, you know, about price gouging and all this. But it was kind of an education for a lot of folks, including us, that that's not the way it was. It was just a terrible year, and they'd go out there and put all of their labor into it and come in with just a few sacks of crawfish. And, you know, they've got hundreds and thousands and even thousands of dollars invested in and going out and making the catch for the day and then coming back with just a few sacks. But seems to be a whole lot better, Mickey. We'll run it in the ground talking about it, but we'll see what happens.
And looking for the holidays, you know, a lot of people like to do shrimp and oysters and all that for Christmas, and how's that looking?
Been getting a lot of folks asking about it, and we've got the 912s. I think we've got them heads on and heads off. So that's usually the ones that folks go for the most. There might be another run, another count smaller than that. I'll know more about that here in a little bit. But there's usually always shrimp available. I haven't seen oysters, but that's another thing. You just rattled my cage. I'll check on that and post up something, because oysters are usually a big thing, and we usually have them in by this time. So I'll ask Jennifer this morning or shoot her a message and see where we're at on that, and they can run down to our local oyster provider and round some up and get a gallon or two. So, but that's about it as far as on the shrimp and the seafood, Mickey. On the and we'll see how it is on the crawfish. On the live bait, we do have some live shrimp, but very little. This cold snap kind of slowed things down, but I believe the boats will be going out this morning, so maybe about noontime we'll have a fresh batch of some shrimp, hopefully. This time of year, it's hit and miss, buddy. You just never know until they go. But there's finger mullet and quite a few finger mullet in the tanks at Boyd's One Stop, and that's a good thing because right now with flounder fishing and such, a lot of folks want to drag a mullet or two. So I think we're in pretty good shape to get the folks through this morning on live mullet. Plenty of dead bait and all that stuff. Cajun Grill's been making gumbo, and that's a good thing on a cold day. Yep. So fixed up pretty good, Mickey. Things are looking good. Am I going to talk to you again next Friday, or is that?
No, I'm out of here, man. I'm now on my South Texas trip, my vacation, Christmas to New Year's. I'll be unavailable.
You know, I knew that. I just stuck a fork in you till you're done, man.
Well, hopefully I can send you a picture of a big old buck on the ground. You never know.
With you and a big old smile on your face, that's what I want to see.
Yes, sir.
I want you to have a great week, Mickey, and I wish you a happy, happy birthday. We just, as long as we keep getting them, it's a good thing. You're always just jumping one ahead of me every year for about 8 months. You're 8 months ahead of me, but thank the good Lord, I'm able to catch up with you every year, so we'll see you. But looking forward to hearing any good reports that you have up that way, and we'll wish you a Merry Christmas and all the folks that are listening on the Outdoor Show. Great bunch of folks.
You betcha. All right, ma'am, throw them out some numbers and how they can get a hold of Boyd's or come find you or what have you down that way.
Boyd's is 227 Dyke Road. As soon as you come on the Dyke Road, we're on the right-hand side. And 409-945-4001. BoydsOneStop.com, Boyd's One Stop on Facebook, and everybody be safe. Have an awesome Christmas. God bless everybody, and we look forward to seeing you on the flip-flop, Mickey.
You got it, Dave. Always a pleasure, man. You have a great holiday season. Live it up.
Thank you, now.
All right,
thank
buddy. You. See you. All right. That's Mr. Dave Fremont down in Texas City at Boyd's One Stop. Well, you know, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. You know, weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics. And they're archived so you can see patterns over time, along with their educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to AnglerU.com to become a member today, and you can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com, that's AnglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 540 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. No better way to wrap her up than with Captain Steve Hillman. I guess I said that right. Hillman, what's up?
Good morning.
Well.
How's your morning going?
Oh, it's just peachy.
Peachy? There
peachy,
you go.
Baby, peachy. Oh,
perfect.
Man, living a dream.
I know you are, man.
Or somebody else's nightmare. They both were.
I hear you. Oh, man. A little ground haze this morning. I'm driving. One morning.
Sounds like you're heading west.
One morning where it wasn't foggy yesterday. It was the only morning it wasn't really foggy. And then some kind of weird stuff moved in. God, I don't know, about 7:30 or 8, it got, I don't know, it was haze or fog or what, but it almost kind of got foggy again yesterday morning on the water.
Well, it was super cloudy. You know, we were supposed to have sunny skies. We eventually got them, but, you know, I even ran, you know, driving home in the studio yesterday morning. It was mist on my windshield.
Yeah. Now, it's, we've fished in a little bit of everything lately.
Yeah.
Going back to Friday, that was some wicked stuff we fished in, like freaking east northeast at 25.
Yeah.
Pretty steady drizzle. I'd call it rain. It was past the point of drizzle. And then that was Friday. And then Sunday, I think it was nice. Yeah, it was pretty nice Sunday. And then Monday through Wednesday, I guess, was when we had all that fog. It was crazy. Fog and low tides. Great combination.
Yep. December fishing.
Yeah. But the water got super clear. I couldn't believe how clear it was where I was fishing. And we've done pretty good every day. The last 2 days got slower for me. We still caught 16, 17 trout, you know, but it was compared to earlier in the week. You know, we're catching 30 every day. It was easy fishing. Then it got tough. And what's crazy is I bounce around a bunch. I'm not leaning on the same stuff every day, but I'm trying not to. Let me rewind. I'm trying not to. And the last 2 days, I ended up back on the same stuff because I couldn't get bit anywhere, and our ratio went down the tubes last 2 days. We caught a lot more throwbacks. We had some nice fish mixed in. I had my guys from Michigan in for the last 4 days. We finished up with him yesterday, and one of the guys, Stu, he caught one a little over four. It was between 4 1/4 and 4 1/2 on the Boga, but which is a decent fish, you know, for these days for Galveston. But most of the legal fish we're catching are 15 1/2 to 18 inches.
Yeah.
Same thing. But sure. What's weird is, so as pretty as it got Monday through Wednesday, just dead calm, air clear water. Literally, you could see almost 5 feet down where I was fishing.
My goodness.
And no mullet jumping, none. And it made a lot of things went through my brain. It made me think about, like, when we pull up to an area and we don't see any bait, you think, oh, man, we're not going to catch anything here. Well, we caught fish in a lot of places Monday through Wednesday where there was no bait. There was no visible bait. Nothing was jumping. Every once in a while, you see a mullet flip.
Yeah.
And I tried to video it, but like I said, that water was real clear. You'd look down, and one of the guys noticed it before I did. You'd look down in the water column, and, man, there were rafts, thousands of horse mullet swimming under the boat in three or four of the places that we went. Never jumping, just swimming, just kind of docile, just kind of easing along and bumping into each other. And then they turn, you see those silver flashes. And it just made me think of how much water are we fishing where there's a lot more bait than we think, you know, there is, because you just can't see it on the surface, because normally that water's not that clear.
Yeah.
But, and then some of the trout we caught, I videoed some of them just because you could see them coming up through that clear water, you know, 4 1/2, 5 foot visibility. It was pretty cool, but but no, everything just kind of shut down on us the last few days. I don't know. Backside of the moon.
Backside of the moon. That's one of my best excuses.
It is. I mean, we still did pretty darn good, but it compared to earlier in the week, it just wasn't exceptional, you know. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was really, really easy, fun fishing, real solid fish. But last 2 days just kind of turned into a grind. Bite got soft. Fish were closer to the bottom. I mean, there was a fine line between not working your worm slow enough and working it too slow. You know, matter of fact, Stu, he got hung up a bunch, like a bunch. I told him, next year,
turn that hand a little faster. Get that rod tip up there, buddy. How many times I can't even count how many times I've said that in my life.
I'm telling you. But I told him, I said, hey, man, next year, you need to, when you get your out-of-state license, you need to go ahead and get your oyster license, too. But, but here's the deal. He caught the first four fish yesterday. And it's just, sometimes it's hard to work it that slow. And I had to put on a heavier
jig. We call flipping. The bite was so slow, we were able to flip shells over to catch them.
Exactly. But we all kind of got the hang of it and started doing okay. And then our colors were different, you know, for weeks on end. Excuse me. For weeks on end, I was catching a lot of fish on the old standby plum and some on that pilcher color. A lot of the natural and more intermediate colors.
Yeah.
And then slamming chicken, of course, old standby.
Good for the last 2 days.
Yeah, but the last 2 days, nothing came close to that Laguna shrimp, that pink with that kind of faint glitter in it.
That pink is hard to beat in December, January, and February.
I'm telling you, we caught every single fish on that yesterday, every one.
Wow.
And the last 2 days, as a matter of fact. We caught some on chartreuse silver glitter the day before, but I think it's just that clear water, and then I think when it's clear water and overcast, that pink's hard to beat.
It is, man. It's a great color in the wintertime. I don't know why. Don't even ask me why. I just use it. It's a go-to.
Yeah. Same here. I don't know. I know in the spring we start getting kind of some of those worms. You know those little worms you get everywhere, especially in the back legs? You'll see them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. I used to know, but
don't get me to lying.
But I don't know why that pink is such a good color in the winter and spring, but you're dead on. I mean, especially one of my favorite topwaters to throw is a pink skitterwalk. I don't know what it is about that bait, but caught a lot of good fish on that pink skitterwalk. And then, of course, about a month ago down in Matagorda for about a 3 or 4 day stretch, that pink mirror lure sheep pup was money. Right. I mean, they're eating it better than anything. You know, I don't know. There's something. So I don't know what they think. I don't know what that color does to these fish, but it really makes them mad, apparently. But no, that's it. And we're not catching anything else. It's just trout. I mean, we've caught a few flounder. We actually fished for flounder Monday, and we pulled off the trout about 8 o'clock and went red fishing, and we caught some little rat reds. And couldn't catch any keeper reds. And then I just started doing some drain stuff, fishing some little marsh openings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we caught a couple of flounder. But pretty much it's all trout. I just can't really get – I can't – in the areas of the bays I'm fishing. And I've been bouncing around. I've fished two different parts of the bay.
Yeah, some reds the other day. I think I saw one of your guys posted something, you know, with some reds. But
oh, that was Matagorda. Yeah, Matagorda, yeah. I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem catching reds down there. But
yeah.
in our bay, I can't catch a damn keeper red hardly.
They're
anymore.
All up in the marsh, man.
I guess so.
Everybody's catching them up the bayous and in the marsh, back lakes.
Yeah, that was that day I had Charles, that new guy. And yeah, we had a real good day, and we didn't keep anything. We caught a lot of fish, trout and reds, turned everything loose. Had a couple of days where we let everything go, and I don't mention that. I should mention it more often, but I do have quite a few guys where we don't keep anything, you know. But no, it's just good December fishing. It's just pretty easy most days, you know.
Right.
And not a lot of people on the water, not a lot of boats. Kind of surprising, as pretty as the weather's been.
Where are you going to the ranch this Christmas?
Man, I'm going to try. I'm fishing through the 23rd, and then I think we're planning on leaving the day after Christmas. And I've got like 5 days blocked out, so I'm praying to God we can make it work.
You and me both.
But I looked at the long-term forecast. Man, it looks like it's going to be real mild. I don't see any front. coming. Did you see any kind of cold looking, fronts?
It's not looking fantastic for hunting.
Yeah, and I hate that for South Texas. It gets so dang hot down there. But I don't care. If I can get down there, I don't really care what the weather's doing. I'm just ready to get out of Dodge, man.
Hey, if the deer ain't moving, I'll just pick up a shotgun. Heck with it. I'll make the money.
There you go. Does Blaine have a lot of quail this year?
Millions. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
As he would say, millions.
Millions.
Millions of them. I know we have a lot of them. I've only been down there one time for a real short trip, but Dad's been telling me there's quail everywhere.
Yeah, when you're running over them with the truck, there's a lot of quail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Digging them out of your grill guard, there's a lot.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're running down a county road running fast, they'll run and fly up, and you'll hit them. There's a bunch of them.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And dove birds, too. Dove population, they're back. They're thick.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, give us something else to do, and I think we're done with the split.
One way or the other. I'd rather burn shotgun powder than rifle powder. You can only.
Yeah, I hear you.
Shoot so many times with the rifle.
Yeah, I like to kill. We've got a lot of ducks on the ponds this time of year. A lot of gadwalls.
Yeah, you do have that one pond. You always shoot ducks when you're down there at Christmas time. That's good.
Exactly. Yep, that one pond. You know the one I'm talking about, the one that bottom area, because I sent you and Bob a video last year of me stalking some ducks on it. But, yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff to do.
All right, buddy.
It'll be fun.
Well, I'm out of time, and you're on the road, so you drive safe and catch a lot of big quality trout today. And if somebody wants to call you, Steve, give them a number where they can get a hold of you, man.
All right, 409-256-7937. I'm going to try to put these Altinger boys and Mike Silva on a few pencils today.
Oh, there you got a crew, man. You get them next to something. They're going to rip lips. All right, brother. You have a good one. Tell him boys hi for me. See you, man.
I'll do it.
Later.
All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.